Let's read our text one more time this morning, 2 Samuel 19, verse 31 through 40. Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai, and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Let's bow our heads for a moment to ask for God's presence and blessing. Father, as we are now to open thy word to what men would call the foolishness of preaching, we pray that we might see that blessed cross of Jesus Christ, our salvation in him alone, and that we might be instructed out of thy word what is our calling, a calling especially to cleave with all our heart and with all our soul to the inheritance that thou hast marked out for us in the Reformed, the biblical faith, and in this church. And to be not only a witness to it in word and in printed page, but to be a witness to it from the heart to the children who follow us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Barzillai is probably not very well known to you. He's another one of what we might call the unsung heroes of faith, but nevertheless the faith that we are to follow. Barzillai is an example. He's an example to us of contentment in old age. Not a contentment that came to Barzillai at last when he was old, but a contentment that had been the foundation of his entire life, but now was blossoming as he was an old man. A contentment which was in the spiritual heritage that God had given him, his place in Israel, the heritage of the truth, of the promise of Jesus Christ. In that heritage that God had given to him, he was content to live out his days to God's praise and glory. As I said, he's not very well known to us. We have here an 80-year-old man who in every respect is content with what God has given, and he's ready to finish out his years on earth according to whatever the will of God would be for him. He's content in every aspect of his life. He has just been offered by the Lord's anointed, David, he has just been offered a complete change. He could leave all of his life behind, all of his problems, all of his struggles, the people that he had lived with for so long, and perhaps he knew all of their weaknesses. He could leave where he was with all of its sins and weaknesses, and he could go to a palace of the king. He could be far away from those troubles. He would be cared for. Everything that he would possibly need would be supplied to him, and he would even be given a place of honor in David's royal court. But he chooses to decline and to stay on the east side of the Jordan in the lot that God has assigned to him. In effect, he is saying with the Apostle Paul, I have all and abound. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. He was content with his physical decline as an old man. He was content with the same house. He was content with the same people. He was content with a spiritual heritage of truth that God had given him to possess in his soul. He was content to finish his days in the knowledge of the love of the King's anointed. So I call your attention to contentment on this side of the Jordan. And we'll look at Barzillai's confession of his contentment. And secondly, the strong witness that his contentment left for the children following him. And then finally, that he lived out his days in the enjoyment of the king's kiss and blessings. So who is Barzillai? Barzillai was of the tribe of Manasseh. You'll remember from your catechism that Manasseh had received inheritance from Joshua on the west side of the Jordan and on the east side of the Jordan. Barzillai was from that tribe of Manasseh on the east side of Jordan. His inheritance was in Gilead. And Gilead was just a little ways north of the Dead Sea. And Gilead was dry prairie. However, we learn from the text that he was a very successful rancher in that dry prairie. He was a wealthy man, verse 20, 32. He was a great man. And his wealth was shown in his ability to bring provisions late that night to David and to his army as they were encamped facing Absalom's army. His name, Barzillai, means iron. Iron. It carries the idea of spiritual endurance and tenacity, the idea of spiritual strength and iron-like commitment to what God had called him to do. There were other men who came in the scriptures from Gilead, and these men also had that iron-like quality of faith, Elijah and Jephthah the judge. Barzillai, member of the 10 tribes, the 10 tribes had sided with Absalom. Barzillai was decidedly loyal to David, the king's anointed son. He had brought those provisions to David at great personal risk to himself. If the battle the next day had gone against David, certainly Barzillai and all of his possessions and all of his family would have been put to the death. He is a very brave man. With Absalom encamped in Gilead and below him in Manasseh is David, Barzillai rode to him to bring to him at the eve of the battle the supplies and the food that his army so desperately needed. He was faithful to the Lord's anointed. And he was also a very highly respected man. For we read in the scriptures in Nehemiah that a descendant of his, a girl, a great-great-great-granddaughter of his at the time of Nehemiah is going to marry a Levite. And the Levite that she marries will change his name to Barzillai. In our text, on the east side of the bank of the Jordan, he has come to say farewell to David, as David now will take the ferry that the men of Judah have provided him back to to the West Bank and back to Jerusalem. And when David sees him come, and we gather from the text that perhaps in the past these two men knew each other, but be that as it may, when David sees him come with his sons, David says to Barzillai at that instant, "Come over with me, and I will feed you in Jerusalem." Barzillai, we are told two times, is 80 years old. He's old. And the very first words that David says to him is, "I will feed you." So we gather that perhaps he, as an old man, is not eating. He has become very skinny. Perhaps he's not taking care of himself the way he ought to be taking care of himself. "Come and I will feed you. I will help you with the physical problems you are facing now as an old man. And further, come to my house in Jerusalem where not only I can care for you and take care of you, but I will give you a place of honor in the king's heart in reckon of what you have just done for me." But Barzillai respectfully declines and says, as I mentioned a moment ago, "I'm content where I am." He gives the reasons, verse 34. "How long have I to live? I no longer have longevity to be of continual service to the king. I don't have that strength. I'm on a limited time." He says in verse 35, "I am 80, and can I discern between good and evil?" By which he does not mean morally. He could discern morally between good and evil. He just did. He stood with David. But he means the alacrity of his mind, the ability of his mind to quickly decipher and figure out courses and what would be advisable. "I'm losing that, David. I don't have that anymore." And then he says, "Can thy servant taste what I eat or drink? I'm losing the senses of my body. Food doesn't taste good." And he says, "I cannot hear anymore the voices of singing men and women." We gather that he would enjoy the voices of song and praise to God in his life, and he still would enjoy that, but he can't hear those words as well anymore. And when he's in the narthex, he can't hear. If there's a lot of people talking, it's hard for him to focus on what is being said. And so he says at last, "Shall I go over and yet be a burden to my lord the king?" And we must not take that as a complaint against old age, that he's living with pity for himself. "I'm just a burden." But he is accepting the confines that the hand of God has placed upon him in old age. He's not depressed. He's not filled with regret. He's content to live where he is. And then he says something remarkable. Verse 36, "Thy servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward?" David, why do you think you need to reward me for what I have just done for you? He is saying, "David, I don't need recognition. When we're old, we want recognition. Not just when we're old, we want recognition according to our nature. In the church, if we do something, we want people to recognize it. In fact, we say, well, if no one says anything, if they don't care, I don't care anymore. We're looking to be acknowledged for what we have done in the service of the Lord. But Barzillai says, I don't need that. He's speaking there in a godly humility, but he's speaking there not just in a godly humility, but he's expressing the motive that was his in helping the cause of God represented in David, and that motive was thankfulness. Thankfulness to his God that he could help the Lord's anointed. David, what I did in love and gratitude to my God. I don't need recognition for that. And I am content where I am in his kingdom. But what was it? What was it that gave him this contentment? And he comes to the heart of that in verse 37. Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I might die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. He's saying, as I've mentioned to several times now, his contentment was in the spiritual heritage of truth among the people of God that God had given to him. He's not just saying, I want to die in a familiar place. Don't take me out of my home when I'm going to die. I want to die there. I want to die where I lived, and I want to even be buried next to my father and mother. As he is an old man, 80 years old, he's thinking about his father and mother, no doubt about that. But he's not simply saying, I want to be buried in the cemetery plot. But we must remember that Barzillai here, under the inspiration of Scripture, is speaking in the days of types and shadows, and he's confessing faith in Jesus Christ in terms of those types and shadows. His place in Gilead and his burial place was figurative of his inheritance that the Lord had marked out for him in the land of Canaan, a picture of the covenant of God and our life with Christ, with God through the blood of Christ. It was the place where God had worked in his soul the knowledge of his salvation. He's saying to David, it was there that I was numbered among the people of God. My parents, I remember them, were the means that God used to cause that promise to find its place in my heart. I identified with them. I came to know God as my God through this inheritance of truth that I had among the people of God, the promise of the Redeemer. His contentment as he was dying was that he was brought by grace alone into a covenant of God and with his people through the blood of Christ. He was saying what the psalmist says in Psalm 27, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. A goodly heritage is mine. Our contentment, not our boast, not our earning, but our contentment is the spiritual inheritance, which at its heart is union to our Lord Jesus Christ and to his saints and people, the Church of God, our inheritance that we have received of truth in this place. We are thankful for that inheritance, for this church. We are thankful for a heritage of Reformed biblical truth. We are not boastful as if this comes to us because of us. We do not say that this is the church and there is no other church. We know that God has his church and people on the earth even to the end. But we are thankful. Thankful for what God has given to us. That wonderful gospel of saving grace in Jesus Christ. That place among his people here. It is not perfect. We are not perfect. And if we're looking for perfection in the church, we need only look behind our own nose to discover that that will not be the case on earth. But there is a contentment, a praise to God for what he has given us as a heritage. That means those truths in my life through which my soul has come to know and glorify God as my God. Yes, I am satisfied in God and with my inheritance among his people. Here. Are you? Content with your advancing age and pending death? Yes, but content because of God's faithfulness and that the lines are fallen to you in pleasant places and you have a goodly heritage. You see, our contentment in life cannot rest upon the earthly circumstances of our life, but it must rest upon what God has done and faithfully promises to do. God may have brought you at this stage into your life as an old person with things that shock you and many physical trials and many struggles that you thought that certainly God, because you're getting older, is going to spare you some of these things, but he does not. God may bring to your church struggles that you have to go through in your fellowship. And as you cleave to him and his truth, you may go through struggles. And you may go through your own personal life of bereavement. Perhaps in your marriage there has been betrayal. Perhaps there has been desertion. Perhaps there have been sinful, evil things done to you. You look at God and you're tempted. The devil was tempting you to sense an unfairness. The devil says to you, God's ways are not just with you. You've served him and now you have to go through this too. Perhaps you have envisioned how your retirement years are supposed to be and it's not like it, what you thought it was supposed to be. And under all of these struggles, perhaps you and I begin to be bitter and despair and carry a grudge against God, so to speak. And then under that, a dark creature called depression and disappointment comes to us and our souls are cast down and we can't live in any other scene than the scene that is acting out in our own mind and what is troubling us and we're in captivity to it. It is at that point that our heritage that God has given to us teaches us to say two words. And you'll recognize these words from the Apostle Paul in his epistles, often when he has painted all of the darkness that is ours, he would add two words. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy according to his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has made us alive together in Christ. But God is our inheritance. Barzillai is saying, but God is my inheritance. And so we say, you may be right. My last days are not what I thought they would be. I am going through trials. You may be right. There's nothing that can undo the circumstances that have befallen me or my family. You may be right. Everything I really hoped for is crumbling down around me today. You may be right about that. But God is my inheritance. And this witness that Barzillai gave was a very powerful witness, especially to his children. He says in verse 37, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back, that I may die in my own city and be buried in the grave of my father and mother. But behold, thy servant," that's his son, Shimham, "let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good to thee." So now we need to understand that the grace of contentment that God works in us, the grace of contentment is not to be equated with complacency. To be content does not mean that you do not have strong desires, that you do not have prayers for the future. Contentment, we say, is the opposite of evil coveting evil things that God does not want me to covet, but contentment does covet. The grace of contentment in my heart and in yours this morning covets. What does it covet? It covets for the generation coming after us those things that make our hearts content. It covets that inheritance of God's truth and presence in their life. Contentment in the church as we grow older does not mean detachment and we become placid and neuters our desire and say, well, we have it and we have that faith and I become indifferent to what the generation behind me is going through. But contentment in our heritage is a strong, passionate desire that this be continued in generations which are to come. Aged saints, and for that matter, no saint, aged saints don't sit around occupying space in the body of Jesus Christ, but they covet, they pray, they witness through their contentment to the generation coming of our inheritance. Even if you're young with a little child, or you're mid-age, or you're old, you have a generation at your heels. You have a generation following you, that little baby, that teenager. Godly contentment desires for our children that they go over with David, that they and their whole life are engaged in the work of the king, that they are in his kingdom, that they are working. Contentment is not just, I have the assurance that I will go to heaven. But that contentment works in us a strong witness and coveting that they who follow us might know and love this inheritance. We do not want the coming generations, and again, not just for old, but for all of us, we don't want the generation following me to be carried away in the tsunami of ungodliness and unrighteousness in this world. We do not want the generation coming behind us to be disenchanted, turned off to the blessed truths that God has given us to know. But contentment, satisfaction in our inheritance means that we covet it. We want it to be continued in the generations coming. Let Shimham go over with you. We read David's words to remind Solomon of this in 1 Kings 2, verse 7. These are the words that David remembers Barzillai's request. And he says to Solomon, "Show kindness to the sons of Barzillai," sons, plural, "the Gileadite, and let them eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." So Shimham, the son of Barzillai, and his brothers had ridden with their father that night to bring those provisions to David. They joined that relief mission, and they joined the relief mission not simply because they said, Dad's 80 years old. He can't be out there himself. So he has these spiritual things he wants to do, so we're going to have to help him do it. No, they rode with him because what was in Barzillai's heart? David and the Lord's anointed and his promises were in their heart, and they would hazard their life for those things. Verse 37, Barzillai speaking to David, do what shall seem good to thee, to him. Now note David's response. Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him what shall seem good to thee. We know that the continuation of God's truth and promises and generations following us is entirely of God's grace and sovereign spirit. And yet God says to Chimham, but David says to Chimham, I will do what seems good to you. This is what you want. God preserves that truth by grace alone, but also by implanting in each generation a coveting that it be continued in their children, that the church be continued in the truth on earth. Does the generation at your heels, the generation that is following you, do they know your desire? Do they know the desire in your heart? Do they know that the inheritance that we seek to teach them is the treasure of our heart and our contentment? Do they see that we pity it when the church struggles, that we do not rashly reject the church in her struggles? Do they see that there is ballast in the church, stability? Do they see that in us? Do we speak the right words? Do we still lead even when strength declines? Contentment is a powerful witness that that heritage is our contentment practically in our lives. It's our strength. That's a powerful witness. We don't just teach them the truth objectively, but they see that that truth is the sustenance of our life in every possible trial that we go through. It's a powerful witness, and discontentment is powerful too, if it doesn't outright destroy what we're saying to our children. How can we commend God to our children, to our grandchildren, if we're not happy with Him? We don't like what He's doing to us at this particular moment in our life. How shall we call our married children to hold fast to God in their trials, great trials that will come upon them, if we moan and groan and despair under the loads of our own cares? If we become bitter, hopeless, resentful about our life, our lot, God's will, about the church, then we become a lead weight around the neck of our children. Sometimes when we get older, we find ourselves saying with respect to our children, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be a burden to my kids. Well, we are not a burden to our children or to the church if they have to inquire as to what our needs will be And if perhaps they have to come over and place handles in the shower or in the bathroom or other things to help us, you're not being a burden. That's what they're supposed to do, to take care of you when you are old. We become a burden to the next generation in our attitude. In our attitudes, especially our attitudes reflecting how God is dealing with us. How can we say God is good? God is always good. If under our fiery trials, we despair. We talk about leaving a legacy to the next generation. The legacy that we desire to leave is contentment in God and in our heritage. And that we would say with Paul, who as an older man is chained between two Roman guards and says to the Philippians, I have all and I abound. Discontentment in the Christian life is not a small matter. And contentment in the ways of God is bigger than what we think. Discontentment shows you my old man. Contentment magnifies the sufficiency of God's grace. And so Barzillai will finish his days knowing the love of his king. Verse 39 and 40, and all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he, Barzillai, returned to his own place. So Barzillai did get on the ferry for a while. And David and his household, and David and his mighty men, all got on the ferry, and they were pulled across to the west bank. And everyone on that ferry began to leave, got off the ferry, until at last there were just two left, David and Barzillai. And David kissed him and blessed him and stepped off the ferry. And Barzillai went back to his inheritance. But he went back. On this side of the Jordan, he went back under the love and blessing of the Lord's anointed. The kiss of the anointed king of God. The seal of a kiss is a seal of love, of holy love. That kiss of David is the gospel of God's pure grace that is preached to you in this place. Even the forgiveness of all our sins and the promise of an unshakable covenant of faithfulness of God. The blessings that David bestows upon him are all the promises of God which are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, exceeding great and precious promises. We live under the kiss of our King, the gospel of grace, and under his promises. What God has given to us in our inheritance is enough. He has sworn that he will be faithful to us. And so these years in our life, we are to witness of it, to say, my cup is full. And we are to witness by contentment before them. That others, our family, others should see in you and in me these words. And having thee on earth, there is naught that I can yet desire. God grant that. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray, O Lord, that the inheritance that thou hast bestowed upon us may indeed be our sustenance, that which upholds us. We pray that it may be the treasure and the comfort of our hearts. We pray that we may speak well of that inheritance, that we may prayerfully and lovingly teach it to those who follow us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.